Thank you. All right, then. It is 8:37 on Thursday, August 8th, 2019. We are at the Authority Headquarters. And I will call to order Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Communications and Community Engagement Workshop. I'll call the roll. Cameron Gogas.
Here.
Tom Donahue.
Here.
John Carlton.
Here.
Ann Price.
Here.
For the record, all directors are present. Our guest and consultant, and Director Taylor, is here. Thank you. And Michelle Hughes is here helping us out. So we're going to kick this off. We've got three items we want to address. One is community engagement, community processes and strategies, and part of that is in relationship to what's going on currently. Second, we want to spend some time getting Anna's feedback on her draft community engagement and communication plan that we've all discussed and approved. And third, we want to talk about the high-level stuff regarding the policy and the overall goals, so that when our new authority manager gets here, he'll be able to look at those and create and draft his community plan for the following year. So, Anna, do you want to start us off then?
Sure. So, if we can either,
however you want to do it.
Yeah, okay, so I think that we can talk about the tactics here,
okay.
You know, at the right time, but I wanted to start a little bit just about the expectations. I think we need to get to a point of understanding what is kind of common expectations anymore in a public entity in terms of the role of communications. Because I think that it's evolved, and I think that now there's always been an element of transparency and customer service and whatever public agency exists, and I'm just going to call you an agency for this public entity. But I think that over more recent years, the introduction of email, I mean, there's many more forms by which people can access you as elected officials, and this 24/7 both news cycle and ability to constantly be on your phone and in connection and communications with people has even heightened both the number of people who will contact you and the expectation for that response. So I just think that that's important to note, that whoever's on the board or whoever's running for the board, that's kind of now comes with the territory, and I'm facing this with, even a lot of state agencies or local bureaus and cities, there's mid-level employees who think, I'm a policy wonk who's, here to do my job, and this has been my job for 30 years, and I know what I'm doing, and now all of a sudden I got to respond to emails because anybody can email me and ask questions. But that is kind of like, yes, it's hard, it's annoying, but it's part of the job now. So, and I think that one of the struggles, especially for anybody, a volunteer board, with a very limited staff who is technical in their expertise, is that you don't have the resources to hire somebody to do 20 hours a week of community engagement. The reality is probably the demand isn't there. I mean, I think that you've got some vocal constituents who want to see a certain level of communications, but it doesn't sound like that is, which I think some of their ideas are good, and I think some of your ideas are meeting what they'd like to see. But you have to figure out how to prioritize it. Where does it fit? And what's a reasonable expectation to set for yourselves, your staff, and then the public? Just because you can send an email at 3 in the morning, which I'm known to do because sometimes that's when I'm up and working, doesn't mean I expect somebody to respond to me, even within 24 hours. But it's when I have the time. But what's a reasonable expectation that you can set for? And so I just, and I don't know if that's something that you guys have talked about at all, especially as it relates to kind of the new manager or your own staff. I know that's been an issue when Tony was here last time, that your staff's very busy and you can't stop what you're doing when it comes to a very technical need to make sure every email is responded to. However, is there, where does that fit in the prioritization so that you do have the trust and support of the community And I don't know if you've talked about that at all.
I think that needs to be a big part of what we do. I think we need improvement in that area. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. Yeah, so I think as an organization, I think we need improvement in that area, and I think we need to get better at interacting with the public and making sure that they know that we hear them. And I think we need to figure out how to work it into this community engagement communication plan.
Mm-hmm. But I also think that if that is then a priority, then the question is, how do you carve out that? Is it a priority of you as board members to lead that effort? Is it a new expectation of staff who maybe have been here 15, 20 years who that's not what they were hired to do?
That's not a new expectation of staffing.
It's not new.
In any way.
Okay.
Because Rochelle and I, if we get emails from customers, we respond the same day.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so that's good to know.
That's never an issue.
That's great. Okay. Because I know that Tony has voiced concern that there isn't the capacity.
Well, so he doesn't have the capacity.
Okay.
And he's very, very careful about his words. Because the types of emails he's getting are totally different than what we're getting.
Okay.
So if we're getting things that we can readily respond to, such as billing questions or
right.
customers' needs.
Okay, oh, of course, yeah.
So,
okay.
But what he's getting are bizarre technical.
More policy, technical.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good distinction as we look at policy, as we talk about the policy, which is down in the agenda, is kind of the customer. What is customer service in the terms of which we're going to define it versus community, exactly, and prioritizing how those are responded to as opposed to a 3-page email detailing.
Well, does the employees get, they don't have an email address, so they're not contacting, say, Leonard or Ross or
Yes, they do, every one of them. They have their pad that they take out with the work orders and their email. They talk to vendors mostly.
Well, okay.
But they're not talking. Customers.
Don't have their. Okay.
Mm-mm. The only addresses that they have would be all of you, Tony, myself, and Rochelle, unless they give it to them.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd like to add into the conversation about communication with the public, two pieces. One is, where does the public records request come in?
Yep.
And how, where do you draw the line? Between people that want to try to get around that and go to a board member to get information as opposed to make the formal request so mm-hmm. that we have a record of it.
I was asked.
And then, my brain is just not.
Coffee?
No. The public records request, and then also with regards to information that we share, where does the board draw the boundary with regards to security? So there was an incident in Oceanside that created a real big problem for them with their water source. And traditionally, this authority has been very protective of where certain infrastructure is mm-hmm. and accessibility to that and what it is about that. And so where does the board draw the line with the information mm-hmm. they know? And how do you share that with the public if they're inquisitive about it, and yet make sure that it gets out there in a way, and this is where maybe where the public records request comes in,
right.
that needs to go through that in order to protect the infrastructure security.
It seems to me like we have a need for a spokesperson that all inquiries would go to.
Tony.
Formally, we do, and that is Tony. But it
and that is in his job description.
And it's delineated in his job description. But right now, in the past, since we started the wastewater treatment upgrade, and the people in town that don't feel part of it or feel like that shouldn't have been done, well, in my opinion, have tried to get to the board.
So, do they think is there a perception that the board and Tony are on the same page and he's not being transparent for our feelings or our knowledge? Or
I've never sensed that perception that the board and Tony are on the same page.
I know there's
page.
It seems to me there's some conflict between Tony specifically and this group that we
The board you're talking about?
Not the board, the public you're talking about. Public,
yeah. Like the group that, just for clarification, like who's leading, who most of your communications is coming from, that's leading the effort on this newsletter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I feel their concerns, but that's not the problem. The problem is, as a newbie and an outsider, fairly, impartial here, is that there's a conflict going on, and it's not between so much the board, but it's between Tony and this group. He's holding back or something. That just the perception I have.
I think in some respects, maybe all respects in regard to that, Tony is being the manager of the authority is the go-to target when there are complaints, and I think that's historically been the case. I think there have also been, quite honestly, I think there have been over the years some personal interaction things that people have not resolved in their own minds.
There's lots of personal advantage out there.
We can't be responsible for how other people receive information that's given that's factual and complete is to the extent we can given the
there are some very old grudges, things. Tom, that started when the authority combined together and there was an authority manager put in charge of both water and sewer. And at that point in time prior to that, from my understanding, there had been a lot of flexibility about kind of the cowboy attitude, I'll put it in the way I want to do it because I know how it's being done. And there were a number of years where Tony, as the head of the authority, required people to rip things out and do it according to spec and regulation. And those grudges are still in place and very, very real with the public that is still
here. I'm glad you told me that because I have to think a great deal of Tony and his abilities. But I just diving in here and an impartial observer, there's the conflict there. Mm-hmm.
There are some very specific cases with regards to sewer lines and so forth.
And backflow assembly issues.
And backflow assembly issues. And Tony was willing to stand up and take the heat for making sure that the regulations were followed according to.
And the regulations have increased over all these years.
Yeah,
and the legal aspects of this work that we do together has gotten more onerous over all these years. And so that doesn't help that situation get any better.
So that brings us back to the situation. Given that history in place that because this community has seen a lot of change over the last 20 years, which is very uncomfortable for people that don't want it to change. And we are the only public agency in town. And I think that creates a real challenge for us to get over that and move beyond that and be, as Sean was saying, how do you be more inclusive? How do you help people understand what this is all about? And how do you create relationships that allow people to move beyond that? And I think Michelle has done an incredible job individually, one-on-one, with some of these people, getting over that. She has a tremendous ability to help people see different views and come around and create relationships so much better than I could do it.
But I think that you're picking up on something that was, as I was reading through the many documents that have come over the years. Exactly. Definitely not dull. So, but I think that there is a bit of, I have seen this in many cases where, for whatever reason, there does seem to be something a bit personal, and some of it's the fact that he's been here since 1998, am I remembering that date correctly? But
yeah.
So he's the only one anyone knows. But also, sometimes it's, in situations, whether it's like the superintendent of the school district or whatever it is, whomever it is in that position, sometimes it can become a target. And then how that person's perceived if that information is not. So I think some of this has become personal, it appears, and personally, and then it's translated to the authority itself. Whether it's real or not, it's a perception by some people. And so I think when you have a perception like that, the best way to overcome it is to establish clear expectations around policies and procedures for communications and information sharing. And I think that with a new manager coming on board at some point, or the search, that's an opportunity for you to both celebrate the last, I can't do the math now, but
30 years
of Tony and his leadership and the staff here, as well as talk about kind of a new manager and a new information age, right, with the growth here. So I think there's a way to...
Well, I think we were already starting that with our...
With your search.
Part of the criteria for the new manager is we insist on someone with public relations skills, mm-hmm. good communication skills. I think it's a priority, and I think we all agree on that. So you're right, it is a new opportunity.
And this is kind of a nuanced thing, we talked a little bit about it, but I do think that public relations has a connotation of like retail sales and spin. And I think community engagement and strong communication skills is like maybe as we just talk about terminology, because I think PR, you think, like I said, you know, it feels disingenuous. And what you're talking about is you want someone who's both knowledgeable, who can lead this, but also has strong communication skills, which you've built a great relationship, it sounds like, with the customers. Someone who also can communicate that and has that community engagement experience. So that's just a small piece.
And that's tough. I mean, there is a skill set with communicating. And you know, it has been my experience, I think I've said this before, but you have people who are highly technical tend to not have that skill set. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. People who do have that skill set are not necessarily great at highly technical things.
Right.
And so given that we're a small community mm-hmm. and we have water and sewer together, we're asking a lot of one
person.
So we need to make sure that if there is any skill sets lacking, and in this particular case with you, a communication skill set, we need to figure out how to
overcome that. And that is something, and I think that goes to some degree, what's the expectation? And, you know, if you find the right person in every area, but they readily say, I'm not strong in community engagement, I can help support the technical side, but that's just, I'm not a public speaker. Is that a...
It's a deal breaker.
Is it a deal breaker? Okay.
Well, I think, too, as we talk about that skill set, we need to not lose sight of the fact that the board has approved an assistant manager position.
Oh.
And the assistant manager position has, in the job description that we did, a lot of responsibility for community engagement and communication type of thing. Go ahead.
And it may be that in the current economy and the employment situation that we end up with an authority manager that is not a young and up-and-coming, strong, necessarily communication, but somebody that can move into that position for the next 5 years, while we then get an assistant manager that has those skills that can then move on up and take over.
So, or support, complement each other.
Who knows how that balance is going to end up. And I don't think we can just say this is the narrow piece that we want to look at and nobody else qualifies. But we're going to have some options and we're going to need
any search process. We're going to be weighing the pros and cons of each candidate and selecting what we collectively think is the best option. So
along the terms of communication, again, technical to lay, one thing I've learned... You have all Toastmasters already. Technical people have a tendency to use acronyms.
Yes.
A lot. Our billing drives me crazy. I always forget what the hell an SD something like that is. I mean, in know, unless you're tuned to what's going on. The same thing with the telephone bill and everything. I think so, something we could make it a great bit of improvement is just saying system built that charges water. System built. So get rid of acronyms. Just something quick and easy. Mm-hmm. Technical people use acronyms all the time. They're used to, you know, to in their job describing a digester or whatever, you know, or they call it something else. Technical people do that.
Somebody needs to tell the software engineers that so you have enough space
in the bill
structure.
It's not enough space.
There's got to be something on the back page. Put an asterisk. You know,
they don't give you that option in the software packages, which is a real challenge. Yeah, but once again, how do you overcome that?
That's common. I know that some other clients.
You know, it's the first time I've heard that.
Well, like that, regs. For a long time, I didn't understand what regs were in the, but now I do.
Yeah.
It's a very common misconception.
In general,
Well, and maybe, I mean, I know this is getting kind of the tactics, but you know, that's a great point, and being able to acknowledge, like, we get it. This is a, just being able to communicate that we acknowledge that it, your bill must be confusing. How do you read your bill? What does that mean? Put that in the FAQ on your website.
Yeah. Read your telephone bill.
Right. What is this? What, I don't see your bill, but, you know, what it, my bill's confusing. What are the line items on your bill mean? So that anybody's interested goes to your website and just like FAQ and can look and make it, you know, those are things that do take some time to do up front. Yeah. But might say
I think it would be super easy.
You've never had the issue come up.
The only one I've ever heard is a customer will call up and say, what's a con?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Consumption. It's just we don't have space for what's a con. So
I didn't know that.
It's like looking at the bill and having those arrows point to it in the definition.
But you know that customer called and asked the question. And
so how many people don't call or
communication is a two-way street.
It is. Yeah.
People have to ask the question.
How do you know sometimes to get the answer? Says something.
Exactly.
But right. Dealing with utilities, oftentimes people say, okay, well, that's what I got to deal with.
There may be something I can take care of.
Yeah.
Cool. Really easy.
Cool. Okay.
It's something simple, but people, you know.
Well, and the other thing, you talk about simple things, when we block off a road or put signs up that say slow, do we also put something on the web page that says this is what we're working on today?
Right.
You know, because I saw four or five people out with staff, you know, bugging them, doing their ear, because that's what you do around here, is, Jesus, my street, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, and then you get into who's fishing and whatever, and pretty soon it can delay.
No, they got handed a whole cake. Missing one piece.
That holds it all together.
Yeah. Speaking of our website, do we have any idea how often it's visited?
You should be able to.
There's analytics
available.
I'll have to go up.
If we're using that for one of our primary communication tools, we ought to know how.
I'd like to see some revamping to that.
What about as far as fun facts or things like that to give people like comp? Did you know that the comp stands for this? Or, you know,
there are ways of doing that.
Right.
FAQs or fun facts.
This is such a good piece because this is part of the reason that the assistant manager position was created, was to begin to pull these communication pieces together.
Yeah.
You know, I think the community has, part of the community has a perception that we have a lot of time that we could be spending doing this.
Well, I think that there's a shitload of money, pardon the expression, but I mean...
And that we could be spending money and time doing this when, in fact, you know, most of our staff comes in before they're scheduled to work and puts in extra hours almost every day of the week. Mm-hmm. And nobody sees it, and we have run 3 major projects, if not 4, in the last 15 years without the addition of any staff.
Well, and this is the most interesting thing. No lost time injuries. And for something like that, that's huge for an industrial.
Yes, it is.
I was looking at that on our billing, that we haven't had any work comp. which that's a, mm-hmm. a kudos to the employees.
Sorry, I was sorry. That's okay.
Well, and to Anna's expertise, you know, this is a very common problem in public agencies. And if I'm sure all of you have heard other things like, why doesn't the roads department fix the pothole in front mm-hmm. of my house? What's the county doing wasting money on that when they could be fixing this? And if you go to the budget and you read the budget and you go to budget hearings and you see how the budget is built and you get down in the weeds, you get answers to those questions.
Right.
Because priorities have to be set, decisions have to be made sometimes on the fly mm-hmm. in emergency situations, and you can gain by digging into it
right.
a true understanding of how these decisions are made.
Well, it's kind of
but without that digging,
right.
Well, it's easy to just say, well, if I were queen, the pothole in front of my house would have been fixed weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's almost like looking at the master plan. It was like brought up about the little projects that we can start hitting on. And I think maybe there's a frustration with, you know, people that that stuff hasn't been done. And I think now, and it's like you're saying, we had 3-4 major projects, and now we're going to start hitting
them. And those are extremely time-consuming. Plus, meanwhile, so the water still has to go, and the toilets still have to flush.
So this is a good question. It's how do you help the public understand, or how do you help the public orient themselves to wanting to understand what truly is going on, as opposed to coming in, beating the bush about my pothole isn't fixed, and obviously you're doing everything else wrong.
Well, it's like Robin's saying about the money, that we've got all this money and stuff, or how come these jobs aren't being done? But
she said we didn't, that we had $30 million worth of projects, is what she said. We didn't have the money. We'd spent all the money on, it made it sound like, you know, we'd spent all the money we had. That's not true. We do have money. She's misconception, total misconception. And nobody's see, looking at the financial statements.
And see, she—that's a big part. Well,
okay. So let's
go back because I think that this—I think that these are all. I mean, I think you're asking the fundamental question is how do we get information to people? And I think that you know that is the million-dollar question. If we figure out a way,
what tools we have.
Right, exactly. And so I do think that your website, and we talked about this a bit ago, and as I've looked at it again. You know, I do think that your website is going to take some work up front, but I think that that is always a primary tool, especially in a community like this. And the first thing I did when I got a call from y'all, you know, was to go to your website and figure out who are you, what do you do? And I think that there's a lot, especially with, you know, the combination in, you know, the creation in 1998, like, who is the authority? What is the history? What is your job specific, you know, and what's your mission statement? And I think that if you're like, our mission is to ensure that the community of Pacific mm-hmm. City has clean water, sanitary, like the sewer system is, so like, what is your role in health and safety of the community? And that is your health and safety entity, right? Mm-hmm. And so define who you are and what your role is front and center on that page. And yes, there's how do I pay my bill? Where, you know, but I think that there's got to be that kind of narrative where people, besides the logistics of paying for it, who are you? What's your purpose? We're an elected board, an unincorporated, you know, like all of those things. And then have both the, if you want to pay a bill, if you have questions about your bill, but then also FAQ about the authority, about our projects, our strategic plan, so that anybody, most people are not going to want to go look at the line item,
nope.
you know, but as long as they know it's there, because I did notice there were some things up from like 2015, and that was the last quarterly update, or something like that. Maybe I'm wrong, but
the annual water report is pretty old that's on there.
Is it?
Yeah, it's 2000. I don't think there's a 2018.
So how often are we revisiting and updating or changing?
Well, when Michelle has time between auditors and customers.
No, actually, every time there's a board meeting, you know, the first thing right. we want to do is get the MP3 out there so they can listen to it. Every time we finish the minutes, which has been horrendously slow lately, We went out there the 1st of July and updated all the rates and customer information at that point.
That probably helped.
But we're on it at least monthly.
And this is how it goes out. I think the informational updates, the last one I saw was 10,
and we don't have anybody in-house.
But maybe I'm looking at the wrong.
Just Michelle.
But
no.
That's just on the upgrade.
That's just a company upgrade.
Right. But so, if you don't know anything, you don't know what WWP means. You know what I mean?
She coordinates the information.
There's just opportunity here. That's all I'm saying. There's opportunity.
Oh, tons.
If we had somebody for 2 months that had nothing to do but to revamp the webpage.
Well, actually, this is really interesting that it got brought up because I have been kind of asking, we have the people that are hosting our web designers. I mean, that's what they do for a living. And I've checked out their other websites that they put up. I would love for them to take a run at it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I think the management.
So how we got started in doing the web page was more of, geez, we don't have a web page. Let's get some information out there.
Right.
And we worked with a marketing firm and tried to come up with things, but it's now time to take it to another level.
Right. It's always good.
It just hasn't been updated in years.
Yes, and refreshed. So I think that, so let's make, I mean, that definitely has to be a priority because I think any new person, and it's also a great opportunity where if you're defining, so you've defined who you are and what you are, and then I don't know where you are in your search, but I think also communicating, here's our search process. There are, I mean, this is the quintessential, like if there's a superintendent of public schools or any kind of public, leader like that, it's very hard, a president of a university, you know, these are public jobs, but at the same time, you're not going to recruit people who you may want to poach from another job if it becomes public the minute that they've applied. So you are in this quandary where, like, you want the most qualified, recruit the best you can. Yet you can't disclose all of the information about your applicants because otherwise that person may be like, well, I'm not applying if it's going to be public because my employer might know.
That's one of many reasons we hired Profman.
Yes, so the fact that you have a firm, whatever your process is, I think just the public should know because there's maybe 10% of your population that cares. But
it's out there.
It's on their website. We put a link to Profman, right?
Yeah.
But again, our website isn't. It needs improvement. So.
Yes.
User friendly for sure. Yeah.
So I think that's definitely important.
So it sounds like we have a plan to.
I'll get a quote.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think if you could ask them, like, are they just designers and we populate the information to them, and then how much control do you and your staff have to readily make adjustments and updates?
We don't. I mean, we send it to them and it has to be done within 24 hours.
We don't now. But
so I
new
think
group,
that within
with
your
that
group, yeah, okay, because I think that that's where you want to be able to say,
I want to be able to.
If you have to call me and say, get on there and do it, or you can get on and do it in an emergency, waiting 24 hours for
accessibility.
I mean, because I actually, I am not a web designer, and I'm not suggesting you should go with someone else, but they could do it in a platform. Yeah. I know what platform they're in, because if they're in a platform that's, they create it, but you just log in and can do it. I mean, I can modify platforms like that.
Okay.
Yeah, if I can do it, and anybody can. I can do it, too.
Exactly. So.
Tom had a comment, right?
Do we have I haven't looked at the web page for a while here. Do we have an info search section on there? And do we have a comment section where people can make comments and we respond to them?
No.
We have email, contact us, kind of email for contacting.
But nothing for, how fast do we get back to them on emails?
Usually within the same day.
Through
the web page. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's positive.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, you can't go on the web page and send an email directly to us. We don't have that service at this point, but on the web page.
Yes, you can.
If you click contact us, it's got the email.
If you click on the name,
click on that, it goes to email.
Oh, it goes to email.
But she gets it and she responds.
On the web page, you don't write your.
No, you don't write your contact or your question on the
web page. Oh, yeah, but there's a
itself.
Form.
Yeah.
So, there's a link.
There's a link, yes.
Okay.
And a form.
And that's an immediate response.
As far as getting back to the first part of my question, an info search section, if somebody has either a technical or.
There is a search window on the page.
And How detailed is that?
Well, whatever you put into it.
For example, status of a project.
No, that won't be on there.
So maybe like along these lines, what could happen is an assessment of the current website, not just in terms of design, but in terms of content.
Yeah.
What's there, what's needed, you know?
Presumably a new company taking a fresh look at it would raise some of those questions.
I think so, but I also think it's about...
the process, and we should too.
Yeah, I think it depends on the company. I mean, there's so many different variations. There's some who are just technical designers that tell you, you tell them, this is what I want, and then they go design it for you. There's others who say, here's what a successful, like, this is what a website should look like, and this is kind of information.
It's kind of the way they are.
Okay, and then you would still apply the...
So we get to respond and have our priorities covered, and that.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So
what you're suggesting maybe is that as Michelle gathers this information from what a new website, updated website might look like, that the board and staff get a questionnaire and that we can... put our input into maybe things that we think should be there and give our ideas to it so that she's not stuck working in a vacuum and that collectively then maybe we hit on all of these different aspects that we think are important.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what you need we need to be able to articulate to whomever you talk to is what is the purpose of this website, you know? And I think if it's to provide more information and become, you know, set some goals. Is it to be a user-friendly asset for our customers who both want to be able to pay their bills, have questions about projects, questions about the authority, is interactive, I mean, not.
Right.
But set some goals and expectations so they understand what it is. Some websites, I mean, just, and I think as you go on other websites, look and see which ones you think are useful and seem applicable. You know, to
right, and then cost effective
right.
Because
exactly.
Setting up paying bills online with only 1,400 customers may not be cost effective.
Correct. Right. But I think can get to, because I think the other piece of this is, you know, the role of, I mean, as we move into the expectations there's also of communications, there's also the role of staff versus the role of board members. And I know that that's, and, you know, to your point on the public records, but even, you know, do you have a lawyer? Who's your attorney? Who reviews public records for...
Schwabi.
Okay. I know them well. So, you know, I would want them to look at any policy, but I think, you know, I'm a firm believer in putting public records requests links on your website. So, like, public information. If you would... I think that you should require it to be a public records request. Now, if it's something simple and someone calls you and says... hey, can I just get the minutes from the last meeting? I think that is not, and you're like, oh yeah, it's on the website right here. If it's already a public record and you're just facilitating the research to get it to them, that's fine. If it's not, but if it's something that's going to require you to go back to files, pull all those things, I think for the sake of transparency and for the sake of just keeping a record, having, say, this information is available, and yes, this is a technical thing, but please, would you put this in writing so we can keep a record and make sure we're actually meeting our responsibility in fulfilling public records requests. I think that's perfectly reasonable.
We have that process.
And it's not intended to add bureaucracy to the process. It's intended to like hold us accountable to the process.
I like that idea.
That's where we are with it, but
we have that.
We
right
do
now.
Have a community person that does not want to participate in that.
I don't know
she
about
asked me.
In other words,
what? She asked me about the maintenance stuff.
Right. In other words, we have a public records policy and a form, and we've asked people to follow that process when they want information that's not out there, that's not that we have to spend time looking for. So where is this, or what research led to this, or so forth. But because there is a fee associated with that, they don't want to pay for it, so they're now coming to board members to get that information from them, so, or else they're parsing out the questions into series of three questions per email, trying to keep it smaller, and it doesn't allow us to follow a process like that. And yet if you say no, you're accused of not being transparent, of not being customer service friendly. How do you draw that line?
So I think that... again, if it's something that requires you to compile, I mean, some of this is a judgment call, like if it's...
Yes.
Can you give me an example of a question that...
All right, maintenance. I had, years back, I had asked for the maintenance. Remember where...
Schedule.
The scheduling of when things go down and maintenance and the equipment that is at. And that's what a community member asked at the last board member and wanted it.
Yeah.
In other words, she would like, that person would like it from you,
me,
and not to go through
and
the
versus to go through right. Michelle.
And I think that, again, I think this kind of goes back to the importance of having these policies, but also on your website to say, if you look, the purpose of a public records policy is to ensure accountability and also to ensure that, like, we have a record of what's going out to the public, and then also if the other requests come in, we can fulfill it. The governor's office actually does a really good job on this one area, because if you recall, under Kids Opera, there was lots of questions about public records and whether they were being fulfilled. So Governor Brown, on her website, on the public records request page, actually posts any public records request that's out there, that's been submitted, rather, to her office, and you can see, and you can go, and then once they fulfill the record, they upload it to the website, so anybody can have the same record that reporter Nigel Jacobs asked for, or individual me asked for. That's right, so then other people see it, and you know what the request is, and it's, and if this person is concerned about transparency, that might be something to consider.
I think it's a perfect response.
And that way it's like, put it here, because we want, it's not just for your information, whatever we, in our spirit of transparency, we're going to revise this
make
and make this available online, and then everyone knows.
Yeah. I think it's great.
So the only problem I've run into with public records request is your headache, is the time involved in doing it, research it, and whatever. And the time it that takes to respond to the customer or the person making the request. And that's where a lot of dissatisfaction was, with Governor Kitsoff was a good example, is that it put things off for months and months and months and months and months and months. But I like the idea of posting, okay, hey, we had a records request on the website, and basically what it is, a link to that section on the website, and a date.
Yeah. And I think we can do that, and our policy sets it up so that there is a fee associated with the records request so that we cover our costs in searching for that information.
I dislike that.
And copying.
Well, I think that one thing that, so there was a new law passed a couple of years ago that did put requirements on public agencies for, and I can't remember it verbatim, but there was a certain amount of time where you had to at least respond acknowledgement. Request received, thank you. And then you respond, we are searching, and yes, we do have the records of this request, or no, we do not, we have partial, or whatever. And then an estimate of what the cost would be for, you know, an estimated cost for collect, for the time for collection and review. Mm-hmm. And then that person has to, and this is all in law, so we could, Schwabe, or, you know, I could look at it too, but... So I think that is where it's very clear that then the next process is you agree to pay that fee before the records are actually collected. Now, you also have the ability to waive the fee. So at some point, if you guys decide, listen, this is actually something that would be helpful. Like, this is not a fishing expedition of somebody. This is actually information that would, you know,
be helpful for,
be
the,
helpful
community.
For the community. And so we will waive this fee or reduce it.
What kind of fees are we talking about?
It's a per hour fee and a per copy fee.
And
didn't we bump that up, the per copy fee?
No, I think that's in the policy that was initiated, that the board approved and adopted. It's very clear that's set.
The per hour fee is?
10 cents? The per hour fee is whatever the hourly wage of the person.
No.
Is
I think it's $50 an hour.
$50 an hour?
It covers overhead. I'll look it up.
We need to get you a copy of it. But
that seems excessive.
Well, and I don't think that it's the way that the board discussed it and talked about it and looked at it, it's not for frivolous things. It has to do with if it takes Michelle or Tony away from their current job and they have to go back through records and then recompile things because of how that, it's like if somebody wanted a copy of a section of the master plan, well, that's there and available. But if
it's
somebody,
in the library.
But if somebody wants to, you know, go back and
have data pulled together from records.
That was stated in a meeting because Tony said when he that was asked for something really technical and stuff. Tony says right now I'll get it for you, but right now I'm in. It'll take some doing because I got to do some research. And he acknowledged, yeah, I'll get it for you, but right now I've got a timer frame. And I think that settled things down. But the person did ask me for the maintenance, the copy of the maintenance.
It might be helpful.
And it is.
And I think our response to the customers as board members are, please go to the office and file a public records request for transparency, for responsibility, for everybody else, so that this can be done in a proper way.
And everybody is treated the same.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that that's it for transparency and accountability, to assure that everybody's information is treated the same. And I do think that distinguishing between, please know, records that exist are easier to compile and go through the process than if someone said, I want you to go back and look at every, pipe that you've bought. Right, that every, exactly. Over the last 10 years, every pump that's been repaired. Well, then you're going back through and you're actually having to create a new document that doesn't already exist. That does add time and labor. Sure. If it's something that already exists, it's usually, so I think making that distinction is
important. Somewhere on the website, there has to be some kind of statement that said that a response to customers for public records are, we have serious time restraints for lack of staff. Sounds like we have people that have made requests all the time.
We have one person who makes a request 5 to 6 times a month.
So before we continue, I do want to just say that part of what I'm hearing is, and gets back to what you said at the very beginning of the meeting, Anna, was that, you know, the public has this expectation of certain services given, you know, the rise of emails and websites and technology. So we probably ought to start preparing ourselves to spend some money. Even if it's not truly cost effective, we're going to have a chunk of money that's going to have to be spent to.
I agree.
And I think we should. I think it's not, you can't put the same cost benefit analysis on, you know, interacting with the public that you can on a pump or on a. We need it, and as a board, we need to continue to make this a priority and be willing to spend the money to do it.
And I think that you also, there's the balance of the criticism where. I know there's criticism of, you know, engaging me, and I think it's, again, not about PR, but about community engagement. And so I think that to some degree it's some front-end costs here to really, if you need to hire someone to do the content, because you guys do not have the time to go through and pull the content to write the website, then that's an upfront cost that is important, because it's like, look, we know, it's you acknowledging, we know that our tools are out of date. We are going to invest in this so that we can be more transparent to you and create systems that are easier to navigate and access for the public. And that's one piece. I think having this assistant manager, making sure that people know that between the new assistant manager and the manager, that there is going to be an expectation of enhanced community engagement. And that's a cost, and it's an investment, but it's important for the community. So I think doing that, I do think, though, it's going to have to be prioritized.
But I think we have... just in this discussion, come up with at least one action plan that it seems to me the board has consensus on, and that is Michelle's idea to go ahead and explore the costs with this company that we're working with and to bring a bid. And do you feel like you have a good sense of what the board's priorities would be for when you talk to them about a design and interaction and that sort of thing? So
I think so.
That's important for us to know that you're comfortable with what you're going to set out to do.
But I think if they're saying that that what we're doing with you is frugal or whatever, I don't believe so. I believe this is educational for the board. Mm-hmm. This is, any way you put it, this should be as a training for us to get more and bounce off more ideas of what we could do, get better on.
Yeah, this is not a frivolous expense.
No, by all means, no.
And I think we're doing well on that, and it was interesting to hear Bud's comment at the last meeting that, you know, I had heard, he had said, I had heard you're spending $20,000 a month on a PR person. So there are rumors and stories in the community that don't match reality. And our goal at this point is to get community engagement and get education out there and get information so that they feel they're part of it. It's this day and age where it's part of our responsibility to communicate with the public, whereas 20 years ago, I think our goal was to be as cost-effective and efficient as possible because the community wasn't engaged
by this individual going out and talking to everybody, and it's like, draw from your own opinion, come to a board meeting. And that's what I always say. Come to a board meeting and ask the questions yourself. Don't rely on one source of information because there's so much more.
Yes.
Come to a board meeting. But that's the thing. We're having the same usual people, and if we have our reach out to the community, it's going to be the same people, and it'd be nice to grab.
I think if we reach out, you know, with this discussion and working on things like the webpage, that we will engage more people.
I certainly hope so.
And I think that actually, I think that some of this is also, again, there's always going to be a few people who are never satisfied, and everywhere, and that's, and you've got a few of those, okay? And like, it's hard, and that's where you just got to be prioritized, make sure you're meeting, you know, work with them as you can to provide information they're asking for, but making sure expectations and are clear on the front end. But I think that, there's a great opportunity, I think, to, you know, as, I don't know, as the board chair or as a board, you want to maybe do a direct letter to the community through the paper, do an op-ed or some kind of special piece that says, you know, this is where we are, kind of a state of the authority. I don't know, you know, for lack of a better term, but here's where we are. We've heard you. We've been working. We've been prioritizing community engagement. We know that... we want to provide more information to you in a way that's user-friendly, that you can access readily. We know there's been rumor, you know, a lot of misinformation in the community or a lot of speculation in the community about what we're spending our money on or time on. But we want to assure you that in order to try to be more transparent and more accessible, here are some key things we are doing. We are taking a revamp of our website. We want to make this so that when you have basic bill questions or questions about projects, you know, public records requests, all of that is readily available to you at any time when you want to access it. We are also, in our process of hiring a new manager, we're also looking for an assistant manager because we know community engagement is important, and that's going to be an enhanced expectation of that job. When we are down to the finalists, we're going to have community meetings. I mean, I think that, like, just something that ticks off so that the people who aren't going to really care are like, well, that's cool. They're doing a great job. And then they're not going to worry, you know, about it. But then it tells people that you're listening and you are doing
that's
something.
That's another tool, though. That's the point. There's another tool besides a website we're going to use for ads. I like that idea a lot.
I'm concerned, though, with I'm not concerned with the idea. I'm more concerned about the execution of the idea, because I believe that as long as I've been associated with this authority in one form or another, that there has been good transparency, a willingness to provide information, a timely response to requests, or an explanation of why the request might take time. I do not want to see our communications with the public enter into a defensive position.
Oh, correct.
And I think that's extremely important, because I think what we have is a lack of understanding of what we do, because people often don't ask the question. And then we have a few people simply making up information
I should have positioned it better.
I think we need to be. I personally am very sensitive to the fact that I don't think that this authority has anything to be defensive about. I think what we have is people who don't go to the source for the information.
Well, and that records request that we're talking about and putting it on the web,
and having it transparent so that everybody knows what's been requested, and us putting the information out there is also going to be extremely important, that because what happens now in an email, we'll respond to it, and every single time the words are twisted. I want it out there in writing how we responded to it, because I am so tired of
people. Chita, you said this.
Yeah, I did not.
Yeah.
Well, and that puts me on the defensive.
It puts you on the defensive. It puts us on the defensive. Not in place to be.
And I want to clarify. I didn't mean to put you on. I think that the tone of this is important, and there's a balance. Because you also do want to be, as elected officials, you want to be responsive to the people who elected you. But I do think that this is an opportunity to kind of talk about the opportunities and to celebrate the last 30 years and how far you've come, but to also acknowledge that we are entering a new era of tourists and people coming to this community and seeking it out, a new era of...
Oh, but we don't...
I know, I'm just saying, yeah. I know. But I'm just saying, this is not Pacific City of 30 years ago, and you've done a great job of evolving, and now this is the next iteration. We're searching for a new manager, and along with that, we're making other improvements, building on the foundation.
And that's such a good point. Yeah. If there's a group of people that don't want to look at that reality.
And you can't base our world on them.
But you can't. And I think...
What?
We can't base our world on that.
Because here's the other thing. And I want to be careful.
I agree.
I know that these are minutes. So I want to just... If you make it... Like, at some point, there's going to be an exhaustion level. If there is legitimate information being requested that you have a responsibility to provide, that's reasonable. If there is someone who is abusing a system, that is going to be noted by others.
Yes.
And at some point...
The two come together.
That will be controlled in its own way.
The nice thing about it, this website, it will also address people that are second home owners that don't really feel like they have a voice or a vote in our community.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of second that have that opinion. Well, I pay water and sewer, but I can't vote on the issues.
Well, so literally, they do have a voice. We know that. They do not have a vote because they don't live here full time. And so, but how much do they use that voice? Mm-hmm. Not very much.
And this would be an opportunity.
And we faced this issue with the Citizen Advisory Committee too. We did all kinds of things to reach out to second homeowners, and they failed every time.
But the other thing is, I noticed, and again, I'm sorry, all of these documents, but there was some feedback about budget committees and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the other things I was thinking about is if you guys set this expectation by kind of doing this open letter, and then the new manager, through the help of the assistant manager or whomever, did a monthly column in the paper. It does, what's new? What's going on? It could be something different all the time. Hey, we just had this many, this is a success. We had reached the beach and we had 4,000 people came, and guess what? No sewers overflowed. What is it that you can talk about? Mm-hmm. And then, and that becomes a regular communication. And then it also gives people a sense of, because right now a website, someone has to seek it out. But most people pick up the paper and flip through. So does it give people more of a sense of engagement and community kind of investment in the authority, whether they're second homeowners or permanent residents with a vote? But maybe that also gives people more of a connection and sense of who you are and what you do, and it will bring more people to the table who care and are like-minded and want to participate.
2/3 of the homes are vacation homes, and they don't live here.
Yeah.
And how are they going to get this letter?
Well, I still think it's worth doing in the monthly paper.
The billing?
The letter could also be posted on the website.
Exactly, every month. It's just a message from the manager.
Okay.
I think it's a great idea for a message for the manager, because I didn't know, we had all those people down on Estacada Boulevard, and that was a training session, and that people didn't know.
It was two different things. There was a training session on Ella lift station. There also was a leak on Estacada Boulevard. Now, I wasn't aware of, because I had been on vacation the week before. And so I, first thing in the morning, checked it out, and then Sean comes to let me know, and sure enough, it was really a leak. So there were two things that happened
over
there.
These are wonderful concepts, but until we have staff to do it, until we get the website revised, we're still going to have... We're headed in the right direction.
We are, but I want to make sure, and I keep saying this, but I'm going to say it again. You know, I don't want to wait for extra staff to do this.
No, I'll get started right away.
We have had 3 to 4 big capital projects, and I think that communication with the public has sacrificed because of it, and now we have the opportune time to get that back on track.
Yeah. So in this meeting, can we make a motion, or does this have to go before a board meeting?
Which motion?
To upgrade our website?
No,
we would not make a motion.
We would wait until Michelle brings us back a proposal.
So then that would be at the board meeting.
At the next meeting, we would then be able to vote on it or whatever. Now,
get public comments.
If the board would like Michelle or Tony to send out the information prior to the packet so that we could ask questions of Michelle, she could get additional answers before we get to the September meeting. Before we get to the September meeting, that might help us make a decision at the September meeting rather than putting it off another month to get questions.
I think and this is where you need to, I think there's somewhere in between. I think that I know that you have some vocal individuals who are not going to be happy with whatever you do, and it's never going to be enough.
Right.
And we can work on how to address some of those things. But I do think that even if you're starting to contemplate it, like we are, maybe it's before the next meeting or it's right after it, and you report to the community that these are on our agenda. This is our agenda looking forward for the next year. And we know that we don't have all the answers, and it'll be a work in progress. The website, it will continue to evolve. Our first goal is this, and then we will reassess, but we're constantly going to reassess. It's kind of like explain, we know we're not perfect, and we're not saying here's the answer in the silver bullet, so here we go. It's we are looking to constantly evolve, and this is build on the foundation, and you're going to see some of these changes from which we'll continue to change going forward and make better. And that way, I think you can preview it without being, because you also don't want to put a target on your back where all of a sudden someone's saying, well, I want to see the website review. I want to be a part of it. Yes, once we launch the website, we are going to ask for your feedback. What else should we be putting on there, right? And kind of let it be known that there will be engagement. Is that? And then I think we can buy a little time, maybe.
Currently, Tony sends out the packet about a week ahead of time.
It comes out Thursday or Friday before the meeting.
A lot of the information in it is on that kind of timeline. So.
Yeah. But the agenda is there.
Yeah.
Do we publish that agenda on the website?
No.
Do you think that'd be a good idea?
Yes. It's almost too late. We should have.
It's not available
until
Thursday or Friday.
If we let them know that it's coming, you know, we make it a regular deal. Look forward to Friday for the agenda, the upcoming agenda.
That's something that would be much easier with an updated website where we have control.
Yeah,
but if you could preview, I think that's a great idea because. You're meeting again, I'm sorry.
On the first Tuesday of every month?
To have it on Friday?
Yeah.
Before is totally fine. I mean, legislative agendas aren't posted. Sometimes they're posted like, you know, they go into 1 hour, but 24 hours. I mean, most of the time, several days is okay.
But our packets, there's information in the information that we get that may need to wait that late in the month, but the agenda shouldn't be that hard to get out.
Yeah,
a lot of that other stuff should be prior to the meeting.
Sometimes the agenda changes right up to
you always say tentative.
So
subject for adjustment or something. Or adjustment.
I don't write it. So
I'm not sure what the requirement is because we have to post that newspaper, and then we can't change
post
it.
What?
The agenda. Not the agenda.
Not the agenda.
The
meeting
announcement.
Mm-hmm. Just the fact that the meeting's going to happen and where it is,
and
that's public notice.
Right. So then in the agenda. And I cannot remember if it's done by, there's public meeting notice laws. And so that's your public meeting notice. Now, I don't know if Schwabe would be able to say, here's what your requirements are for posting agendas. Obviously, agendas can change, but I think at a minimum, you have to post it by a certain many of hours before, and then the supporting materials, even if they are uploaded.
No, I wouldn't upload any. All I'm talking about is just the agenda, so okay. They have an expectation.
See, I would say upload the materials, too.
And still note it as tentative.
Well, sometimes materials are confidential. So yeah. The board may get a customer copy of a customer letter where there's been a complaint and response, and we don't share that customer information with the public.
Then how is that read on the agenda? Customer concern?
It's not. It's included in the packet.
But
so
it's
not
so
board. The board packet of the monthly meeting is a way for the authority manager to communicate with all the board.
Okay.
And so there is documentation that's included in that packet that is potentially confidential or has restrictions on it that the public doesn't get to see it.
Okay. So.
And especially in a small town, even if you were to redact the name,
it would be
people could
right.
Still
oh gosh,
it out.
Right. Even in a big city, all the time you can figure it out. So,
yeah.
But what is the? So if I was to say I would like to receive the full packet, public records request, I'd like the packet from your last meeting.
People can walk in on Friday and get a board packet, can't they, or read the board packet?
They could.
But then if it's got confidential information in it, what do you do with that?
Separate
it. I don't give it to them.
I still believe that we should have a packet for the public at a board meeting so they could kind of follow through what we're going, but just not have the private information. I've always been a firm believer of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're talking about a working document or something like that, that is, you know, it, the more you can't, I mean, again, it's judgment. If you've got something confidential, then
that's
you shouldn't upload it. But if it's, easy, then.
Yeah, I'm not sure I think it's a great idea to be printing out multiple copies of the board packet to distribute it. I mean, it's on.
Just
it's available in the office if people want to get it.
Just if it was here, maybe two or three copies, just.
Well, for instance, the board packet includes information on the current checks that are issued, including employees' weekly salaries.
Okay.
And
which we would not want to include.
It's which their salary is public information.
But not their weekly pay, so that someone can figure out what their status is with state required withholds.
Right.
So the board does get that, but the public doesn't. And with regarding the resources to prepare a packet every month that identifies what information is public and what is private, when we have nobody requesting that, seems
excessive. I agree.
Excessive.
That's all I'm talking about. You're just publishing the agenda.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. But I would say if you're publishing the agenda, for example, it's one thing. I mean, I think personnel issues. Yes, that is always off the table for publishing anything. But if you have an agenda that says, we're going to go through the draft strategic plan, I don't see any harm in uploading a document that you already have.
Right.
That is something that, I mean,
right.
Especially, mm-hmm. Or maybe you just start with posting the agenda. And then if it becomes high demand that you post, that you upload the materials, then we like evolve from that. And
right.
Start there, but
which is where our agenda is when the public comes in,
yeah,
and grab
they
a copy
it.
Of it, and then on the reverse side is a manager's report that talks about
perfect
were there
yeah.
any violations, how many rats
okay.
in the system.
And so posting is a start, is
so
a good first step.
Posting what we're providing to the public
is good. Yeah,
and to me, we're starting. This is starting to become a workshop on the website. I'm not sure that my vision of this was
yes.
that we spend 2 hours talking
no,
about
no,
the
that's
website.
Right.
I think we've accomplished a major task in our consensus to ask Michelle to do the research and bring a bid on a website that would be more flexible, possibly that we could change in-house
mm-hmm.
so that we can be more responsive time-wise
right.
and that sort of thing. So. And we've got lots of good ideas about what should go on it, but until
yeah.
we have something in place that we can manipulate ourselves.
Right. No, I think I would say that, though, like, I think we can all agree that when it comes to communications, the website's going to be your
yeah.
pivotal,
it's
central
key.
Hub of information. And then how you decide to delineate and get that information up there and out there is, like, kind of the next phase.
Right.
Right. Okay.
So what I see is we've just created action number one.
Right.
We created an edit to the draft community engagement communication plan, and action number one is a better website. So are there other things on here, in your opinion, that are good opportunities for community outreach and things on here that may not be?
I mean, I like the idea. I think that, one, I think, again, this kind of goes to the website, but I think having clear policy, I mean, having a clear communications policy and expectation for what the role of the authority is in communicating with the public, including community engagement, and maybe your policy should be something that includes hosting two annual events for open houses. I mean, I think the open house concept is really good. We talked about that at some point before. The question is, you know this community better. When and how would they show up best? You know, is it something that's more social and open houses and coffee with the board? Is it wine? Is it
no.
Is it in a
bar? Legally, we can spend public money on wine.
Okay. But if it's an open house,
we did an open house in the what was it? Not last. Was it last year? October. The hot dog hamburger thing. We did a barbecue and invited the whole community to
that's
come.
That's fun.
And
yeah.
And tour the facility, and we got a dozen people.
Something like that. If you did that annually,
it becomes a tradition.
Right.
You'd get more people.
And maybe
and at the
it
very
becomes
least,
a social
you've
thing.
Made that opportunity
right.
out there.
Terrible.
And so if people choose not to take advantage of it, that's their choice. But
right.
Well, we do have a new plant. Let them see it.
So you're supporting the items that are there.
I think
you have
that,
some edits to those items. Some cautions.
Well, I think that. I mean, I think that I had a question about. I think the annual events are good. I think that, I guess I want to understand a bit more. The monthly billing messages, I think, maybe that's something where you can say, check out our website. I mean, I think if you're agreeing that monthly your manager's going to have a manager's message, then on the monthly bill, it's like, check out our manager's message, and link to that. I think, I can't remember again, but I think people who read their bills are not going to take the time to read a long message, much less does the software even support you having more of a message than check out our website for the monthly manager's message.
Three lines, yeah.
So I think adding something like that is good.
How much is it to add a note into the bill?
Oh, you mean
a slip?
A slip?
Yeah.
I think it's only a penny.
But how much?
But people don't get paper bills. Some other people don't.
But
I do.
That would be
attached.
But I think a message, you would want a longer message.
Yeah.
Unless it was just like, hey, notice, this is, it's a construction thing. When you said every other month outreach information community, I think I was confused about what that was.
That was prior to thinking about the website. I think the website takes the place posting more information.
Right, okay.
So this discussion
has
evolved
okay.
number two, and
perfect.
What I would do in editing this is switch number two and number one, label it website, and talk about the information that's getting out there, mm-hmm. and include a monthly note from the manager and that kind of thing.
I do think, too, we need to be, because I think everybody here is accustomed to going to a website to look for information. But there's a certain percentage of this population that is not.
Yes.
And so I think as we get the ideas about what we're going to put out on the website, we just need to keep those people in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think some of the notices on bills addresses that population. If it's in a paper bill, you get something on paper that says something, call the office or whatever, so that you are touching those people that don't go to websites.
So when we put out the consumer report, we do exactly that. We put it on the bill that if you would like one sent to you, please call the office and we'll mail you one.
And it's like that's a good bill message once or twice a year.
Right.
If, for instance, if you don't use the internet, please stop in and see us. We'll be happy to share any information with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that using the paper, I mean, again, I think that that message monthly, both from the website and if you can coordinate with the paper, they're probably looking for content. They'd probably happily post something. Let me put something in there. Mm-hmm. And so I think using that, too, is another way to reach the people who don't look at websites but read the paper. Mm-hmm. Other people are going to look at their bill and go to the website. Other people are just going to pay their bill and move on. And like, so I do think that being cognizant of that, I think that the open houses are good. I like the fact that you did a picnic. I mean, maybe just make it a picnic every year.
And
just do that. And then it becomes social. And then people are like, what are you doing this weekend? I want to
the
picnic.
Go to the
picnic. You know? And then it becomes. And then what are the rules of you as a board member being together? Does that make a quorum? So it has to be an official meeting when you're all in one place together?
No, not as long as we don't discuss stuff.
Business.
So
yeah. We can all be in the same room.
As long as you're not making decisions and discussing business.
Mm-hmm. And discussing business. And I think as in general. In general, as a rule, we try not to be seen in groups of more than two in public.
Right.
Just because there's a perception that you might be talking
yes.
about it. And so if there was an event where three of us were there, I would not be ever seen by the public talking with two of
us. We wouldn't be off in a corner of the
right,
table.
But I guess my point was if having a picnic at a sewer or a barbecue at the plant isn't ideal, but you could host it.
We can host it.
We can host it.
And if Ann and I were talking to a customer and Sean came over, I would leave. I would excuse myself from that conversation at that
okay.
event because that then gives the perception that there's three of us talking about business.
Right. But what I was saying, if this evolved into more of a community event that people like to go to, mm-hmm. is there another location you might want to host it?
I think hosting it here is important.
It's just a fine. Okay.
Because it gets people onto the property.
Okay.
It gets them physically connected
okay.
to...
Perfect.
Today.
Yeah, right. So I think that that's great, and I think it just start, and it may be small, and even if you reach 12 people, you reach 12 people, and 1 year you might
that's
reach
right.
20, and
well,
20 and people who like you and are going to be talking to other 20 people, and it
one of those 12 people came right. back and scheduled a full-on tour of the facility with Tony, and he was anti-everything to begin with, and did the tour and thought, okay, now I get it.
See? And so it's
and,
worth it.
And yeah. that was huge for that one person. And he never came to another meeting.
Now, advisory committees, that was something that I was curious about. How many advisory committees do you have now?
We have one advisory committee.
Is it a budget?
And one budget committee.
Oh,
the budget
okay.
committee is required by law.
Yep.
The number okay. of people are set.
Five,
the same number as board members, and their terms are set.
Okay.
The advisory committee we started, is it just before wastewater treatment upgrade? And use them to involve the community
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
We have not used the advisory committee in its potential full capacity. And we need to get back and look at that. It's been a matter of resource and time to.
Mm-hmm.
How often do we, are those appointed positions?
Which appointed positions?
Advisory committee. That we haven't used. I mean, is it a...
The board did not set terms for the advisory committee, and there is not a clear policy on how often the advisory committee meets, and that's something that I think with the new manager on board, it's time to look at again. We set that up for the purpose at that point of getting the information about the wastewater treatment potential upgrade out there. And also engaging them in the whole financial piece, which was extremely complicated.
So does this advisory committee, it's advisory, so do they actually, is there an expectation, do they do any work? I mean, like they just gave you advice, but then you had to execute the work, or they were like, okay, as a part of this advisory committee, I'm also committing to putting my time and resources to help with some of the advice I give.
I don't think it's clarified.
Okay. Because one thought I had at one point was if the biggest sticking point seems to be community engagement, should you create a community engagement advisory committee and maybe make it clear that your advisory committees may be secular, like it may be situational or it may have an end date and based on the issue, whether it's a new capital project advisory committee, a community engagement project, but like whatever it is that you guys are doing that's of utmost importance at that time and have advisory committees that engage. And then if there is a community engagement advisory committee and they're saying, we really need to work on an FAQ for the website, then instead of saying, go do that in all your spare time, that there's actually another body to help with some of the resources.
I think that could be a natural outgrowth of the advisory committee function.
Yeah.
I don't think we're there yet because we need to, as Carolyn said,
get
back to the advisory committee as
yes.
it stands now.
Okay.
But I can certainly see the potential of that being an outgrowth of it. Because it could be an action item that the advisory committee and the board want to take jointly.
Yes.
And so then you need a subcommittee to do that.
Yes.
But we do in our strategic plan, though, we do have as a potential step that the board forms a community outreach subcommittee.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe there's a board subcommittee that's community outreach that then, you know, interacts with either the advisory committee or I actually kind of mm-hmm. like the idea of a separate advisory committee for community engagement. But, you know, maybe the two members of the board that are part of the outreach subcommittee, you know, are the core of that.
I was just thinking of resource.
Right now, I'm feeling like that's redundant. I mean, the advisory committee is the community outreach, to me, in my mind.
I agree that the board has not clarified the role of the advisory committee or how it could potentially operate. And we may not have the board in past years may not have chosen to make this a priority in order to keep resources in line and do the capital improvement projects. So as we move forward with our current plan, which includes a website upgrade and the dollars associated with that, we're going to have to figure out where the additional resources are going to come from in order to deal with community engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I can tell you the amount of time that I'm spending on this at this point is just way more than I'm going to be able to handle in the future. And we're going to have more staff support if this is what the community needs or would like. And it's going to be a balance between what we'd like the community to have so that we can engage and educate them,
mm-hmm.
and what the resources it's going to cost to do it, and what a smaller group is going to really want. I mean, the smaller group that is very interested in all this, I don't think understands the cost in terms of resources to have this done. And this group also wants us not to increase their bills in terms of operation.
Right.
There's going to be a balance there that we're going to have to be very vocal and very mm-hmm. clear about, so that there is an understanding that if we move in this direction, which I think is important, that there's a cost associated with that, and it may be reflected in upcoming bills. And we're going to have that discussion so that it doesn't come back to bite us later on saying, well, wait a minute, we didn't ask you to do this. We don't want to pay for this.
And I think that that's absolutely right. And maybe, again, that is the role for you and or a new manager is like, okay, and I think being very proactive on the front end. I think the website is a done deal, like in terms of I don't think anybody's going to dispute that there needs to be some upgrades. You'll get a bid, it'll come back, and then it's just a matter of that. Now, if the next phase of community engagement in some of this is going to take additional resources to a point where it's going to increase bills, I think that that's something that a new manager could even present to the community and say, look, these are the decisions we have to make and how much of a, I'm here, you know, as a new person, and you can always use the new person hat, which is always great because it doesn't undermine anybody previously, but just I'm hearing these are the priorities of the community. Priorities come at a cost. I mean, we have to decide. And so, and then when you do your budget adoption or budget hearings or whatever that process is, call it out so that people say, there's a direct correlation between I mean, just think about what's happening in the recycling industry, right? It's like, if you care about recycling, it costs more to recycle now. It's cheaper to landfill things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you care about recycling, in order to recycle, get these materials to market for recycling, it's going to cost you a dollar more a month. Public, are you okay with that? Let's be clear. And that's a policy decision that the elected official said, yes, we are hearing from the public, they would rather pay more to recycle. Mm-hmm. So, like, but it was very upfront. So it's like this conversation, it was a choice and a prioritization and a value, right? Mm-hmm. So I think you're absolutely right.
We got a lot of pushback on the decision to hire an assistant manager when that person's, one of that person's focuses on the job would be community outreach.
Pushback from
the public.
And like a lot?
Like
or?
In public meetings, mm-hmm. we got, you know, is this really a necessary expense? You have so many staff and things aren't getting done. And do you need more people? Do you really need this person to do these things? I mean, and it's like a second guessing of the decisions we've made. And I think we used a good process mm-hmm. to make that decision. And it is in place. And,
good.
And I think that's a commitment to all of this that we're talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's it. And like, I think, again, you're never going to make everybody happy. So as long as you're being transparent in your rationalization and you're hearing people, and when there's a point that can be made, you're like, oh, interesting, and you let them know that's something we didn't consider, or we did consider it, and here's the value, and as a board, we're deciding this is so important. Mm-hmm. And then you've made your decision, but at least you've communicated it. It's not done in the dark.
And it doesn't mean we're hiring that person to do that and nothing else.
That's right. I mean, it's just a part of the job.
That would be part of the job that we've not had staff
to do before. And I think that's great.
One more comment. Yeah. You know, when it comes time to do the budgets, though, you know, we need to make sure that we're accurately communicating what we want to do in terms of community outreach, yes. So and to see whether or not that money is available, or if it isn't available, do we deprioritize something else so that we can prioritize, you know, community engagement? So,
right.
You know,
no, I think that's
those
right.
Those are
your
important
budget,
discussions to have at
yeah.
budget time.
And what does community engagement mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because
we definitely need to do something.
Yeah, but
because if we're going to go looking out there for a bond or anything
yes.
that we might need or something, we need the public instead of to have, you know, like the last for the sort of treatment part.
And you want to manage expectations, but I think, again, you have a great opportunity. The new manager will come in January, assuming, or what's your timeline for?
We're counting on earlier than that.
Okay, so that's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like that your search is underway and all that. So, I mean, there's always a great opportunity to kind of, people are going to be more interested. And just because he or she may have a coffee and five people show up, have a coffee once a week for the first month. Or, you know, an open house hours once a week for the first month or something for 1 hour of that person's time. And eventually, and then I think it's like kind of that first impression will make a huge difference. I mean, first impressions are important, right? So the more you can do on the front end and then also set the expectations and management and preview what's yet to come, then it gets people trust, connected, invested, and that person's credibility along with yours is enhanced. And that goes a long way so that when people do make decisions, or when you do make decisions that maybe they don't understand or they don't really like, they're going to be like, well, I trust them. They're good people. They're doing what they're supposed to do. I think that during capital projects, yes. I mean, I think, again, this goes back to the website, information sharing. I think it's up to, you know, I think you know your customers. If you feel like that they need to know that there's going to be delays in traffic or whatever the impact is of that project, there's that. And then also I think just, you know, information updates. And I know the biggest challenge you have in an organization like this, I think, and from my experience, is when you have very technical people, oftentimes they're like, there's nothing more to update. We're still working on the pipe, or we're still working on the thing. Well, still, it's an update to someone to say, hey, 6 weeks into the project,
right.
We can tell you everything's going all, like, we're on time, we're on budget, even if it's like, well, yeah, we are. It just some kind of context. Silence feels like, well, what's going on? Why don't
and
we know?
We do those updates at the monthly business meeting.
Right.
But
again, when you have the website, it's just there.
Yes,
right?
The
and so I think
there.
That those,
right.
that's really important. So I don't think there's anything in here that's like off. I think it's a matter of how it's packaged. And then I think what I don't see, you know, I think the monthly message, I think, is more about a monthly message to the community, an open letter, whatever that is, through the paper as well as the website.
I have another idea for a tool. Along with the monthly message, unusual activity or maintenance or whatever to notify people, to use a tool like MailChimp. People that use email regularly, it also allowed access to communicate two-way. So when you make this monthly message or whatever, or have an email list on MailChimp, I use it for my other deals. We have a website. I use MailChimp for meeting notices or people just for those who are more computer literate to have that email and have it keyed. So that, you know, most people go through their email, junk. But if it's, say, once a month or whatever, a meeting notice or whatever, I always have my acronym in front of the email in the subject line so they know that's a direct communication from my organization. So you're in your subject line would be Pacific City Joint Waters, our acronym.
So let's take that as a component of the bid for the update of the website to see if the...
No, it's completely different.
I know it is, but in terms of the concept of reducing staff time with maintenance of emails, if it can be customer-oriented from the website where you subscribe and unsubscribe that way, so if your email address changes, it's the customer that is initiating that, and then staff gets that information out through the emails that are collected by the web, so we aren't...
So that's through that kind of system, but
the
through
system
the website.
Is subscribe, unsubscribe also.
Right, so that there is not staff time spent updating emails, collating it, putting it together. The staff time is spent only on the subject matter, and it's an automated system. And I would expect...
Like for meeting... Are you thinking for like meeting notices? Like any news
anything.
That you would want to put out? Any press releases, any kind of notices you'd want to put out that person would say, like...
There's going to be...
On the website and sign up for...
I can sign up for anything that comes from
like,
PCIWSA.
Like,
that's right.
Like we have... county has...
Nixle.
Huh?
Nixle? The emergency alert system.
Yeah.
So something that I subscribe to, and then I get something back automatically.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
And I think that websites can have that capacity. Mm-hmm. And to include it in this bill, then means we don't have another line item to figure out how to staff and cost out, that if it gets included in the scope of this of the website upgrade, then it becomes part of that project.
Right.
But the concept is the same. And I agree with the concept. It's just... Making sure
mechanically,
the software mechanically
operationally,
is the responsibility of somebody else and not us internally. Because I think that's where software keeps evolving, and if we get stuck trying to maintain it, we just don't have the staff to do it. Or the time.
Which uses the functionality of a good that part of the website.
I'm just looking for something outside of webmail. Outside of web.
Well, it would be, but it would be built into the website for subscription purposes. But once you're subscribed to it, then you get things get fired out.
Yeah.
But I think the idea can be embedded in. I think we're talking about.
So add to the website also an interactive, like
a subscription,
a subscription and alert function for news and information.
Subscription and alert.
Yeah.
Right.
But I still think if, you know, you're working on a road and you close the, shut the water line down, door-to-door knock or something on the door, on their door because people work.
Jeez.
Well,
we do that.
And where it may fail is if you aren't home.
Well, if you're at work, you know to come home and that, okay, my water was shut off, then therefore I have error in my line.
I like the idea of an alert. That's a good way to put it. An email alert for ongoing projects or... Mm-hmm. This week we're going to be working on this
important information. Yeah.
Shut down Ferry Street.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, the only other thing I was going to say is direct mail. I think that at times, you know, I don't know if you have 2/3 of your folks at the second home, I don't know how you determine direct mail. But that's also something that you could consider as a tool, whether it's capital projects or a campaign or whatever next. And then I will say phone calls, too. We talked about this a bit, but I think sometimes, you know, again, just a touch point. Hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm on the board. Just want to check in. You know, I think if that is something that you feel like there's a need to do, you know, sometimes just a personal call can go a long way, leaving someone a message or a note or something. I don't think, again, I think that would be more gearing up for, we want to let you know we're having a public meeting about our next campaign. We'd love to answer questions. Go to our website. Maybe it's a robocall. But I'm just thinking that those are tools, too, that can be used at the right time. And then...
We use the Shell station in the Sporty.
Yeah. That works too.
And our own individual service.
Right, no, but I think that's great. And as long as you guys are just like, hey, now this is a time we need to be letting people know wherever you go, wherever you,
right.
You know.
That reminds me too, we have another population in town because our policy and practice, maybe it's a legal thing, I'm not sure. But anyway, we communicate with the owner of the property. The owner of the mm-hmm. property is the owner of the water sewer connection. And mm-hmm. so when we send bills, it goes to the owner of the property. But we have a large number of people who live and work in this area that don't own the property where they live. Okay. They're renting. And so we don't communicate directly mm-hmm. with those people
okay.
currently, although we certainly answer questions if they come up in the office. And Michelle and Rochelle have to explain frequently that they didn't get a notice of that because it goes to the property owner.
Okay. So the property owner pays the bill and then passes it on.
So this is another thing that
keeps our collections at zero.
It tells me, too, though, that this idea we're talking about the alert system, the subscription service, mm-hmm. you know, that you can get to on the website, which right. is public. I mean, people that rent properties and live in a rental here would be able to subscribe to that. And so they would get
right.
notices. I see that as another advantage.
That is an advantage.
People that don't have property, that don't have a connection, that want to stay on top of things.
Correct. Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's another
yeah, there are big landowners that taxes. Don't have a house
yes,
and
they
no
do.
Connection.
Right.
But they pay taxes.
Yes.
Which so, are, is part of their...
Yeah. So there are other populations that we haven't focused
yes.
on.
Yes.
That
okay.
Would
that
be
would...
helped out
could,
by...
We could use that kind of a notification that there's going to be a subscription alert service through the monthly paper.
Right, exactly. And I think that that's another...
Multiple interfacing with our
right.
different tools.
And I think that also if, you know, one of the things that just... what you're demonstrating too by acknowledging that is that you're very aware of the people you serve. This is not a self, I mean, the amount of time you spend on a volunteer basis doing this, it's not because you have nothing else to do.
I don't listen to just the people.
But
I
my
see
point is, I think if they do, but I think that that's another opportunity to engage. It's to say,
yeah.
we understand that our bills go to the homeowners, but that X percentage, there's a number of renters. So we know that you're not getting the messages in your bill. So we want to make sure that we're reaching you, too, so you know when there's work being done on your street. So we want to hear from you. We've set this alert. You know, like, and then you get engagement there from people who are like, well, that's great. How do I get the information? And it's demonstrating that you're being thoughtful and
opportunities.
So I'm assuming since we have consensus on this and there's commitment that until we get staff and our assistant manager in place and transition and authority manager, if we're going to head in this direction, other than the website proposal and the details there, that the board would be willing to draft any of these documents that are needed to be drafted, and that we will cycle through, and that each one of us will be responsible for spending X number of hours coming up with the draft for whatever it is to help get some of these pieces in place prior to having staff and resources. So if there is a message letter to go out, then, you know, the person next in line would be responsible for coming up with the draft and doing the work on that. Am I hearing that?
I thought that was like a manager deal.
The manager is maxed out at this point. We don't have enough hours.
Yeah, before we commit to all of these other additional things that we don't have staff time to do, I think is what you're asking.
Yeah,
is.
Because that's a role I've been fulfilling in the strategic plan and the communication.
And I think we need to be very aware of that and and I, again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I think the first step is to see what Michelle comes back with in terms of the research that we can do about the website. I also, in talking about this subscription alert kind of system, I don't want, in my own mind, I'm not including in that email conversations directly between people and staff that can go on for days and hours. That's not the goal of this email.
It's an alert system.
The goal is to make alerts, and the bottom line is, if you have a question about this, please come to the office and
yes,
we can fill in the details. We're not going to get into a back and forth.
That's why social
chain.
Media doesn't work on
in
an organization like this.
Right.
Thank you for clearly saying that, because there's been suggestions that we on a Facebook page.
Yeah,
and
it is.
We don't go there.
We just.
I mean, I think unless there was clarity of need and purpose for a Facebook page, you have a very, it's a small community, it's very accessible, there's opportunity for public dialogue, and I'm hearing you guys say that you want to have more dialogue, but there isn't staff resource. There's no benefit in having a public debate that can't be answered in real time with misinformation or questions. That's what the purpose of revamping the website is. That's what's the purpose of doing these additional open houses and accessibility is.
Right.
I think that you're definitely opening yourselves up to more accessibility to the public. And then, you know, I think as this next phase, let's start with phase one. And if in phase two, there's a capital, I mean, there could become need for a social media page, but let's see how many people use the website. Let's see how you're reaching people that way.
Well, I totally agree about no Facebook. It's way
at too this time, yeah, it, right now it just doesn't.
Because then it'll turn public.
Then you would need to hire a full-time person, honestly, because you would need to hire a full-time person dedicated to communications and community engagement. And so I think if your community is saying that they want that,
that's a reasonable.
Right. But if there is a demand for a Facebook page, I think that that's a very realistic. I think it's reasonable for you to listen to that and then share in the budget that if this is a recommendation that's going to be accepted, this is the amount of staff time it would take, which would mean additional resources in terms of a staff person, and that will be X amount increased cost to our customers.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, part of the authority manager's job description is to do some public relations and community outreach. So I think that we need to make sure that as we refine this community outreach plan, that helps guide the authority manager reprioritizing what he does with the component of time. And I'm assuming and I'm hoping that he has a component of time that he spends on, because it's in his job description. So, you know, I don't want to say Tony doesn't have enough time to do any of this stuff. It needs to be part of his.
It does. And where that may come back to change is that up until the wastewater treatment project, we have not ever hired additional help with major capital improvements with regards to management. And it may be that is no longer an option in order to keep the authority manager having time doing other things. But we're not there yet.
You have an assistant manager, and I do
and
think
we
that.
Have an assistant manager.
And I think that the expectation of a monthly message.
Yeah.
And some of that is going to have to be baked into that person's
absolutely.
Time. And that's that's community engagement, even though
absolutely.
It's...
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it has to be there, but it'll mean that other things change.
Right.
That's why I want to make that clear.
Exactly.
And we want to stay open and flexible,
and,
too, after a year or two of...
Right. You might find a Facebook page is something that would be really useful for a specific Facebook...
It's up to the board to prioritize...
Right now,
to help.
What's important.
Yes.
We need to prioritize what's important and make sure that is communicated to the authority manager the component of his time that is spent on community engagement needs to be reflective of this community engagement.
Yes.
Well, kind of have a pulse of the community.
And I think that's where we're headed.
And your next manager may come from a community where there's ideas we haven't even thought of.
Exactly.
Right. And so I think keeping open-minded on that front, that this is our best foot forward right now, but there could be things we're not thinking of or experience that, you know, so... So I think, and I also, in addition to the website, which I know we don't need to talk about that anymore, but I do think you know, a public records policy, making that clear and establishing that and being able to...
So we have the policy.
We have the policy.
It's just posting it on the website.
Okay.
Communicating.
Okay. The other piece, and it may need a review. You may want to review it under this lens and see if there's explicit things that need to be said and manage expectations, you know. As far as the communications policy, I don't know, you know, I think communications policies are helpful to have, both in terms of protocol for staff or expectations for staff, like what is the expectation for staff in communications, and maybe that's under a new manager that you could work on that with. It sounds like, you know, some, I know some places that say we expect to have a response to all emails within 24 hours of them coming in. I mean, I don't know that you need to go to that level.
We're looking for a more general policy.
Okay, so
what's the flavor? How do we want to present? What is our guiding principle?
Okay. So then I think on that, if that would be something, again, that you would want to post to the website. But right. I think as the authority, our communications policy is to assure transparency of information that, you know, these are just ideas. But what I'm hearing you say is we want to be transparent in information to the public about what we do and our role in this community in ensuring health and safe water. We also, in that communications, we will provide anything and everything within, as long as it maintains. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think that we will provide materials that, in a timely way, while also ensuring the protection of the security and safety of our facilities, and which in turn is a public duty and responsibility. And I think that you could say, our communication, I think then communications means, I think you can define communications responsiveness in email, phone calls. We encourage board meeting participation and attendance, and are always welcome to feedback. We will utilize community partners, the media, our website, and other tools available to us to get information to the public, and are always open to ideas and other ways to engage the public, you know, in the issues that they care about. I mean, I think that, but I think something like that gives you enough room.
Could you draft that and send it back to
yes.
us to work on?
Yes.
That would be
okay.
Lovely.
But is that what you're kind of thinking about? Okay.
Yes.
And then
from there,
it can be like public records policy, blah, blah, blah. But
exactly.
These are the guiding principles. It's like guiding principles for your communications,
exactly.
expectations
yeah.
here.
Exactly.
And respect.
Because it's how we operate.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did I hear you right that our people engage our staff in emails and things like that? Not admin. I mean, our maintenance staff.
Does the public yeah. have the emails of our staff?
No.
The staff does have email.
I think it's on your website.
Not the day-to-day technical.
Oh, right.
I was going to say if we need a policy that any kind of messages that communicating with goes through admin.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Or to you guys. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit, just in general maybe, or specific about crisis management?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, say there's some crazy op-ed that comes out or something that is to the point of actually being harmful to the authority, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's the bull in the china shop reply, right? And you can send them a, you know, certified letter from your attorney. But how do you engage with the community over something like that in a way that's respectful, but at the same time, convey your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, there's crisis communications in the terms of, like, let's just say, what's your worst nightmare with the sewer or the water treatment
plant? Well, like, Oceanside just went through potential contamination.
Okay, so, like, there's that kind of crisis of, you know, water contamination, and that's where hopefully you would have this alert service, or that's where it would be all hands on deck with phone calls or using paper or other means.
Radio. We have a policy on
crisis.
If, like, we had to boil water.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we have
the means to get it out to the public.
Okay, so that's great. So that's that.
And NIPSL.
Then in terms of misinformation or an op-ed, I mean, I think if an op-ed gets published that has is just fraught with fictitious claims or assertions, or even is misinterpreted, right, is clearly slanted, I think there's a way to respect, first of all, always respond. I don't think you let it sit. I mean, and I'm sorry, is the publication weekly? Daily, like
bi-weekly.
What paper? Bi-weekly, okay. So you would want to get in the next, you would one, pick up the phone and call the editor and say, hey, we saw this run, we would like space in the next edition to reply.
Well, there is the Headlight Herald, which is weekly.
Right.
They will okay. have not responded to us.
What do you mean?
Well, we've had them out to interview us mm-hmm. and they never followed up in
the
terms
Headlight
of
Herald?
You're talking yeah. Headlight
Herald. Headlight Herald and never followed up with an article. I've called them numerous times or emailed them numerous times and they won't respond. The editor will not come back.
Interesting. Okay.
And they continue to run off at paces that are negative and untrue and not based on fact.
So that, I would say, with a new manager coming in, I think the first thing is, like, you know, we would like to... If the papers, and we talked about this a bit before...
So we have two different papers.
Yeah.
We have a printed once-a-week paper mm-hmm. that's out of Tillamook.
Okay.
And that is the one that tends not to respond.
Bond.
We have a local printed paper that's also online that has been very responsive, and the editor is at every one of our meetings.
Okay.
So I will just, for the Headlight Herald, say that within the last, I don't know what period, 6 to 8 months maybe, within the last year, there's been a change in the editor, and I try to make a point to read that paper every week, and I have noticed a substantial improvement in the quality of writing
okay.
and the range of topics that are covered.
And that's the one that respond to me.
The yeah. current one?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, there's also the Tillamook Pioneer, which I
Tillamook
imagine
Pioneer.
Would be much more receptive.
Well, here
it's
completely yeah. online.
Oh, it's all.
And it's Facebook.
But who is... So the local paper, what do most people
Pacific
read?
Pacific City Sun.
Yeah.
The Pacific City Sun.
Yeah.
So focus on them. I mean, I think if the Tillamook Herald is running op-eds, and I mean, the Headlight Herald is running op-eds, and they're not responding to you, I mean, I think that that's where you pick up the phone, you call the publisher, the editor, I mean, you go to the top and say, we have a new manager coming, we'd like to forge a stronger relationship with you. We'd like to come and meet with you, please. When's the next time we can meet? And you go, and you have an off-the-record conversation and say, this is who I am. We want to start, you know, this is a, you're an important paper. I mean, that's the other thing. You're really an important asset. You have a big role to play in public information. We believe in the media, and so we'd like to be able to have a relationship with you. And so when there's op-eds that are run, we'd like to have equal opportunity to have space to respond because it's important to the public. And then I think really focus on the Pacific City Sun. If that's where people are getting their news when they get the coffee or whatever, I mean, that's where I do think your monthly message should go.
Yeah.
That's where maybe a Q&A once, you know.
We could have an article every 2 weeks.
Okay. We're back.
Too much. Maybe. But I'm saying that that's the relationship. And I think that that's where a crisis communication, though, is you do, if they're running op-eds that... It's weird that they would run an op-ed, like a series of op-eds against you guys and not even return your call or give you space.
It's not.
Well, isn't it
it's
going
not,
into the...
That's the way
not for the Headlight Herald.
But I mean, that is... Okay, so
they're
that
in
general media yeah. management, that is odd.
It is odd.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's a new one. That's why I think going and saying, we'd like to have a meeting. And I think saying we... And I think it's totally fair to say we feel like what is happening, we would like to know. We would like to be able to respond and give our side.
We need some legal advice here.
Well,
they're running those in letters to the editor.
Are they letters?
Letter to the editor.
That's different than an op-ed.
It's not an article.
Opinion. They're not editor-written op-eds.
They're people's opinions.
But they're letters to the editor. They're different. An op-ed is an opinion guest, a guest op-ed. So there's editorials from the paper. There's an op-ed, which is a guest. And then there's a letters to the editor.
Some of them have been op-eds, and some of them have been letters to the editor.
So I think if you send
them, they are the same.
Have you ever just sent a letter to the editor in response? To see if they'll run it?
I have personally, as a member of the board.
Did they run it? So I was going to say, usually if a letter to the editor is written, run on one thing and someone responds to that letter with another letter to the editor, most papers will run it, and you've seen that to be the case. So that's the right thing to do in a crisis situation to correct the record. If it's an op-ed, again, they should run your op-ed.
One of the distinctions I ran into one time when I wrote to them was they told me this on the phone, that if a letter to the editor is of a certain volume of content, it gets run under letters to the editor. If it exceeds some sort of limit like that, they call it a guest column.
Yeah.
But it's all opinion.
Sure. It's not a news story.
The only other thing I would say is... if you respond as a board member, do you identify yourself as a board member?
Yes, you should. Yes.
Well, we all need to be in agreement.
And
on
this is a challenge because it's been Tony is the official spokesperson.
Right.
And in the last 2 years, where this has really ramped up in terms of the number of pieces that have been out there, mm-hmm. we have been so tight in trying to get this wastewater treatment plant that some of it. We have not responded to.
So, and I also,
and it's exhausting.
You should revisit, though. Well, I don't think it's bad to have. It's one thing to be a spokesperson in the paper for what's happening technically at the plant or whatever. It's another thing if someone's throwing accusations out there that a board member says, "Oh, I want to let you know that what's really happening from a governance and management perspective." And I think that you should have a voice and be able to utilize that voice. And you're right, though, there needs to be some communication. Like, this letter went out, here's my proposed letter, speak now, I need to get it in today, you got till 6 p.m. tonight or something.
That's a challenge, because if you send email communication out to the whole board and expect a response from the board, you're getting close to violating public meeting laws.
So
we
and how often is this happening?
Every issue.
So every other week.
Yeah,
and I really don't, I mean, while, yes, we need to be able to respond individually, I'm very, very, very concerned about exactly what I'm saying and how I'm saying it.
Right.
Because I don't want to fan the flames.
That's right.
And I think in any way, or put out something that's really just not technically accurate.
Or let's say if we need to respond, we only have one response person, that's Tony.
Which is what we have.
And now, he communicates with us as board that here's my draft letter. Do you have any comments? I think we move away from the public record or the public meeting laws that way.
So I appreciate the whole concept of always responding to everything, but all of this written stuff is coming from one person. And I can't justify, given our resources, having an authority manager that is spending 5 to 10 hours a week.
But you still have to respond to this. Especially
in the paper.
But let's go back, because I think that something we started with. So first of all, yes, if it's, and I'm sorry, I should have, when I think crisis, I think it's a situational, unusual event.
If yeah, you're talking about crisis.
When you're talking about a chronic, this is like a chronic problem. That's different. I think if someone writes something in an op-ed form that is like totally false, then you guys like get back out there with an op-ed and correct it. And the question is, you know, I think some, and I wish I could say there's a science to it. Sometimes it's like you got to gauge. Is it from the board collectively? Because for all you know, they're attacking your manager.
It sounds like we
come back from some things with.
But sometimes it's not in the best interest of the manager to be only the person responding.
Exactly.
And you are the ones that hire him or her.
Well, it sounds like we have an agenda thing going with the Headlight Herald.
We have an issue with the Headlight Herald that may be able to be resolved in the future. What we've tried in the last couple of years has not worked. That's one
issue. You're giving this other person a forum.
We have a question on the table about addressing crisis management, which is what Anna defined in terms of something that pops up that's new, that's misinformation that we need to do. Now I think we're mostly talking about a chronic issue and how do we respond to that piece, although the chronic issue got separated and became another crisis informally, unformally, when we have a newsletter that appears to be from PCJWSA.
That's more what I was trying to get at. I mean, I didn't mean to get caught in the op-ed thing.
Okay,
threw
that's
that as an example.
Okay, sorry.
That was probably a bad example on my part.
Well, but there are
things that come up like op-eds, like the PCJWSA pipeline.
So let's talk.
These are the kinds of things.
So I think there's a couple things. One is, like I said, I've worked with a lot of clients. I've had like a small, active, organized group that is not going to let it go with that phone, right? And sometimes you're going to have to decide that letter to the editor is just a character assault on our manager. And, you know, you can decide as a board if one member wants to say, we've been really proud. Unfortunately, it's unfortunate that this letter was sent. He's done a great job. We're proud of our work. You can count on, you know. And that, I think, is actually good practice and policy to get that person's back. And it'll make them want to do more community engagement.
Right.
What you don't want to do is bring somebody in who doesn't want to do it. Because they get beat up all the time. I think that as far as countering chronic issues like that, you find another way to communicate. You go around that process and communicate directly to the people you want, and you drown them out with accurate messages. And if that means that it's the Pacific City Sun that you need your monthly, weekly, I mean, I think weekly is too much, but monthly piece in there. And you just go directly. All the other tools we've been talking about, you're going to reach the people that you need to reach. As far as this newsletter, which I found really interesting, I have a question first and then, this is in color. How did this get, this was done all through this website, like, who are they sending this to?
Everybody who they can.
That signs up for
it? I don't know if
they're passing it out.
I don't think it's coming in the
They're
mail.
Trying to do electronically.
No, it's email, yeah.
Also.
So, yeah. And you do you know the author?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, this is where
authors.
I would talk.
Authors.
This is where I would talk to Schwabi. I don't think you send some crazy legal notice, but I do think that you should. Do you want me asking who your attorney is? It's fine.
Probably
Williamson.
Why? Oh,
you mean
specific?
I just wanted to find them.
Okay.
Yes, and
for different reasons.
Right. Oh, of course.
Depending on
all because of this. Just kidding. Because I think that there are other instances where I think that I would, you know, I think that at some point I wonder if there's a reasonable request to say we are not trying to censor free speech,
right?
But we would like you to make it very clear that this PCJWSA pipeline, this looks like our website. I mean, this a person could misconceive that this is an official notification from the authority. It's not, and we would like that to be clearly a disclaimer clearly placed, or something. I think that's first. Is talking to your attorneys if they
request a change in the title so that it doesn't appear to be.
Give them options. We would either like you to make it clear, change the title. I mean, I don't think you want to threaten. I mean, I think the question, too, is after talking to your attorney, and this is a. I think the question is it that you get advice from your attorney where your legal options are, and then you decide as a board to approach them without attorneys first so it isn't as confrontational?
Right.
And then, but at least know what the legal parameters are. And so I think that's number one. I think number two, I think I am not an expert, so I can't read through this and say, oh my gosh, this is fraught with false information. I also, it's very dense. If there is information in here that needs to be corrected or is not accurate, that is a case where I would, I mean, I'm sorry to say this, but if this is a real concern and you think that this is influential and this is spreading misinformation, then this is something that you should respond to and write back to this group. There is information in here that's inaccurate, and specifically, here it is. That's a lot of time, and I think you have, but you have to decide.
Nip it in the
There's two ways that this could go about. You either decide this is not penetrating and it's not moving people and it's just stirring the pot with the same people who are going to be unhappy with us, or this is starting to catch an influence. Like, I think you have to decide or gauge what's the risk factor in letting it go, and how much of it's just making you mad, and how much of it's actually really harming the mission and the work of what you do and your staff does.
I have a question, Michelle. Have you gotten any phone calls from anybody in the community about this publication?
Not yet.
Would you and Rochelle be able to just keep track if do?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's good. I do think finding out, though,
all of us keeping our ears to the ground, too.
But I think that's it. It's like, how much are people paying attention to it? Is it starting to generate?
Still have to address the PCJ.
Yeah. That is, you should.
That's
but I think as far as trying to respond.
That's a logo almost.
Yeah, I sent him an email, and I said, I think it's great that you're putting out community information. I think it's awesome that you want to educate the public. I just wanted to let you know as a suggestion, maybe think about changing the name, because I think this could be construed as official PCJWSA message. And
so there's go to UO Matter. So the University of Oregon has a professor there. Anyway, UO Matters is a website that pops up oftentimes when you just Google University of Oregon, and it's not affiliated with the university, but it's close enough that it looks like, and then you realize it. So that's what I immediately thought of.
Similar concept.
And I think it's just, you know, again, you decide how much you're going to fight this, or how much are you just going to say, okay, we'll pay attention to it if there's alarming information, if it's starting, you know.
The Oregon Water, drinking water program, they have a newsletter called Pipeline.
Mm. Oh, so they have to be concerned about this too.
Oh, yeah.
I did know in reading it that a lot of the information that's there appears to be taken from our master plans and that kind of thing. But in some cases, selectively, which is another element of, twisting the information to support the idea.
Can I get a copy of that? Because they wouldn't give me one the other night.
Oh, that's funny.
I'll
really
send you an email.
Of the pipeline?
So I scanned it in.
Huh.
The other piece that was noticeable is taking our meeting minutes that are on our website and reissuing their summary of them as the valid, approved, real interpretation of things.
I don't know if that's the impression that I got. I just got the impression that she was in.
I didn't, but I had two other people read it, and that was their comments back to me without me saying anything to them before they read it.
It's like, is this really what happened at the meeting? Or
so?
Well, and therefore, people need to come to meetings.
Exactly. So my question is when we have a member in the community that asserts themselves as representing a large group, is there a strategy other than, reaffirming that we want people to come and talk to us directly? The minor things that I saw in an email to the board were people are complaining that they can't download meeting minutes. And it was like, okay, well, would they please call the office? I don't know that it's appropriate for a community member to represent that in an email to the board, when I can go online and download every one of them and I don't have any problems. Mm-hmm. There were several examples like that in the last letter to the board that we should be doing thus and thus.
Mm-hmm. So I read that letter, yeah.
How do we get the message to the community in general that we welcome them to call us, to stop in, to ask their individual questions, because it's a much better opportunity to talk one-on-one with us than to use someone as their representative. I can't figure out whether this person is truly representing the public or whether they're just framing it as such.
Is that, how many people are we talking? 750, 800 people who live here year-round?
A thousand.
I mean, again, I know this is a tactic, but not really, because it's a tactic within an overarching strategy. It's just going directly to the people you want to talk to. And so I think that I think that's where we can't wait until a new manager comes before you put something in the Pacific City Sun.
So is there something?
And I think that you can say, and I think you can respectfully say, we are so excited that there's so many people who seem to want to be engaged and know what's happening at the authority. Like, turn it into a positive. And we've noticed there's been a newsletter, and we've been hearing from certain people. One, we want to make sure that everyone knows that the way to get the most accurate information is to call the office. If you have a question,
so who would like to take the first stab at that in drafting something that can come from either the board or from Tony to get into Tim's paper? That
you have language in your
terms,
head?
In terms of?
Of a response to the content in there. Like you say, make it exciting. Yeah. We appreciate that people want to be involved, and we invite them to come into the office, and we'd like to answer your questions.
I think we should address it in a board meeting.
Hang on.
I'm happy to do that as long as it's with the expectation that it's coming from the board.
Yeah, if you want to draft it, and then we can share it, and then we can get it.
And I think as a board, you should
do that. And it sounded like you had the language in your head.
Yeah, right. Right.
And then I do think, but just understanding too, like, I would be interested, because I think that you should get a legal analysis of your risk, but then I think, I just want to be perfectly clear. Whatever your legal analysis is in terms of where there's legal risk and liability to you with this going out, with that kind of headline or logo that makes it appear or assume that it's
official.
Coming, it's official, there's your legal risk, and then once they say here are your options, weigh that against your public perception risk. And understand, sometimes you go, okay, legally we could do this, but it would kill us in the court of public opinion.
Right.
And so I just want to make, I did a whole CLE on with the lawyers.
I think that's really important.
So,
just because you can legally doesn't mean you have to.
I think we have a tendency to rely on the legal issues and discount the public perception. That's
I rely on the legal issues so I can make a decision about
that. That's right. That's all. And there's sometimes you're going, this is
the... I don't rely on them to get some sort of reactionary letter to go out. It's advisory.
So we'll work on that legal piece. At the same time, we want to communicate with the public. So if Sean's willing to draft something about, you know, just some of the content responding in a positive way, then he can get that to Tony, which allows us to comment back to Tony on it.
Okay.
Right.
And then it can be put out to the Sun.
As from the board.
And if it comes out to if it comes out to the Sun from the board, then we pay for that being put in, usually as per our language.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a small paper, in order to keep them going.
Exactly.
Well, I think it also should be addressed at the next board meeting.
The response.
When you say addressed, what do you mean by
what
addressed?
Sean comes up with this letter.
Well, that would go out in the PC Sun.
But also at a board member.
It's not a bad idea just to raise it and say, we're working on this because we want the public to know they can come to us.
The PC Sun will be out before the next board meeting. So.
Yes.
If we work that fast.
Yeah. Well, the next issue is the 16th. I think it would make sense to try to get.
The deadline is next Thursday at the very latest. And that's a tight turnaround given where Tony's at.
And I think that also I would keep it high level.
And
so I don't think I'd go point by
that.
Point on the asbestos stuff. I would just keep it high level.
Still out, then I'll get
I think we're just throwing stuff out there. I don't know.
And this all brings up to another point that haunts me a lot in this whole situation is the costs involved in dealing with all of this. I mean, there is the the quality of the communication and how we choose to respond and all that, but now, just in terms of time to draft something and all of our time, which of course is why how we serve on the board, but also the legal costs involved and the cost to the newspaper, and these things are not free.
Well, line item these in your budget. I mean, I think that you can say our projection for legal this year was X. because of an increased need, like our reality, I'm guessing you true up your budget at some point, you go, okay, we've forecasted $1,000 for legal, and at the end of the year, we ended up having to do $10,000 for legal. And here's the rationalization for why, and I think the more you can be transparent in your budget and people understand why, how much of it's self-inflicted, or not self-inflicted, but how much of it is not, but do you know what I mean? Like, how much of it is out of your control, and how much of it is, and I think, because, like, for example, Portland Public I want to be careful about examples I use, but there are other entities that have had the same problem, and their legal costs and their staff costs have escalated so much that it became actually a public issue. And that person was shot.
Exactly. Is it wise of us so we have this incident on two levels that we want to respond to and be positive. We want the community to understand what the truth is, and we want to check out what the legal things are. When we're through that, is it fair to put it as an item on the agenda that what this particular issue cost us and how it cost us to respond to that? Or does that just feed the fire?
I think if you're looking, again, I don't have all of the details on what your cycle is, but I think if in your next, I don't know how your budget works, but I presume that you have budget conversations before you adopt one.
We just passed it.
You just passed it. Okay, but that might be something to say, hey, I just want to put a note out there that this costs us this much. I think we need to, in our reserves, or we need to maybe pay attention to our legal costs and fees, or whatever line item in your budget you just passed, we might want to we need to watch this and see if we're going to need to rebalance or something going
on. One of the ways to get that into the public is for a board member, when you get your board package and you look at the legal costs, why did we spend so much in legal this month?
Yeah.
Right.
How you get it out there.
Can you tell us about this expense?
Yeah.
I think
that's the better way of doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it is too, that it's in the minutes.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think it's important.
The public is concerned about costs.
Yeah, right. I think that's a good idea.
And again, it goes back to just
right out on the record.
And that should be any
line item. Right.
I would venture guess that a significant amount of the public would be dramatically upset with the amount of legal fees we paid after the April meeting.
Well, how much does it cost to retain our attorneys that we pay on legal?
They charge us by the hour based on the project.
Yeah. $525
an
hour.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's at least
$500
an hour.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. So this, you can imagine
it
has
to be
having
an hour. Lawyer is $300.
You can imagine having a couple of hours spent on pulling the data together
and making a decision
about this, what this is going to cost us.
Sure.
And that's just for initial advice.
That's just for initial advice.
And then where's it going to go from there?
Exactly.
Well, actually, you're done looking at last year, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think, you just want to be careful that you're only looking at it, because I do think that the only reason I say this is I would ask a lawyer to look at that, because I would want to know
legal liability.
Someone says, this is true, and then comes to you, and all of a sudden you're vulnerable because they think it's from you, that's the point. It's not to silence anybody from saying stuff, as long as, and I think I know that that's what you're all saying.
Is another challenge. So we had a proposal for a update on our master plan work. Mm-hmm. The board got a copy of that, and we were looking at that, and we realized that it has to go back to the engineers for another update of the proposal. So nothing's been decided yet. Yet a community member got a copy of that proposal and has quoted it in this newsletter. So now there's information out in the public about what this master plan update is going to cost. We're going to have to correct that later on, because this information got out before it was completed, before it was ready. And
see, that is why.
That's why we need the public records request process.
You need that, and that's why the most important thing that you could do right now is the website, which I know is priority number one. But that is where a lot of this stuff. Is you're going to have to just hunker down and manage on a case-by-case basis till you have that ready, and then that's where you can...
I'm sorry, I didn't get that out of the newsletter, so I must have been glancing over that section. So we think that a member of the community got the master plan
proposal?
Yeah, yes.
We know they did. I believe Tony sent it to them.
Oh, when Tony sent it to the public?
It was a public record request?
No, it was an email.
It was an email request. So we have been trying to respond to this person to the best of our ability and not get into a fight about what it costs to do a public record request, because that fight has been it's been out there for over a couple of years. And in doing so, we've now been quoted in the newsletter about what it's going to cost, but that isn't a truth.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
That was a preliminary.
It was a preliminary proposal. It's not complete.
But the nice thing is, during the board meeting, though, it was corrected, and they were told that it's no longer valid.
That's true, but then it was published after the fact.
This was before.
But I mean, that number, I see what you're saying. It's technically inaccurate, but it's not out of the ballpark.
And but it goes along with a question about the AC pipe that they had told in writing twice is not true, and now again is put out there as misinformation. So we've got to get back to this public records request process and get it where the information that we respond to gets posted on the website so that the public has a way to see that.
Yeah.
And that we get out in front with our information and not somebody else with misinformation.
Did I hear you correctly? And I'm not sure I know what the reference was, but you were talking about some other government entity where their legal costs got so high that they eventually had to take some sort of action against this individual?
Well, I think it's just that at some point, like, legal costs did get, I think that there's a number of public agencies, and some of either had to acquiesce and just hire somebody to manage all public records, and they have someone who's full-time who does public records requests. Some agencies do that. Others, others have made it, the point is that the volume of public records was so overwhelming that once they started making it a more online and transparent system, you saw at least some more measured approaches to it. So it just depends. And again, I don't want to I'm a pro public records person.
Definitely.
And I know that all of you are too. And I think that just the more clear you are in your policy around it, and I think the more you manage, and I think the more you put on your information, and I can look and see other agencies have done a really good job of having a form, disclosing
exactly. Well, you said to go to the governor's office?
The governor's office, I have to look at their form. I know the city of Portland has a pretty good form. There's a number of forms out there.
We've got a good form.
Yeah,
But I mean, I think that just so that people know that you're not making this up because you're trying to be hard, there is a law in the state of Oregon that guides public records, because you have to balance public interest as well as the public interest in you doing your job.
You made a good point about agencies literally having to hire someone. As an employee of the lottery, we had to hire two people. That's all they do.
Yeah.
At $50K a year. And it was, we didn't have any choice. The law's there, and they had to do it. So we can't get to our, the people have an agenda to force you to spend money.
Right.
Just to be pests, as we well know.
Well, and I think that there's also, there were times when all of the work you're doing here is excellent, and it's building on great work that you've already been doing. So this is, but it's just a new time and era. But I do think that the more trust you start building, then that process being transparent, the more trust you start building, and then the more people also realize, okay, what I'm asking for is unreasonable, or what I'm asking for is going to cost a lot of money, and then it's their choice by law that they're going to expend that money.
Exactly.
And then you also can sometimes say, okay, you know what, we're going to waive this fee. It's only going to take 30 minutes. We'll grab it for you. But it's still a public process. It's still put on there. I do think you have to be careful about when you waive and when you don't. So I would start with being really kind of by the books on it, because I think that that's important. It's just that it is an additional cost to the staff. And it's not what you're talking about, $50 an hour is compared to what other agencies charge is not a lot.
I'm not sure that's right.
Or whatever it is. But I think that's fine. And I just think
I think the one I saw, my recollection was there was two different rates based on who was doing
it. Well, because if an attorney is reviewing it, because some of it, you probably will have an attorney review and say,
oh,
it's not just something that you review. Yeah. Some of it's an attorney reviews. And then when you're paying an attorney $500 an hour.
Which is why the law is set up to have somebody make the request and then you get back to them with what the estimate is in an itemized way.
And if they want to continue with it.
And they can decide whether they want to continue with
it. And they can peel it back. I mean, and there's other, and if you go down that process, if it starts to become an added problem, let me know and I can just talk you through other ways to manage it because there's lots of different ways, but some of that just gets it up and running. Okay, so I've got, so I don't know that I answered your question on crisis communications.
No, you didn't.
I mean,
good discussion.
I think the more direct communications you do with your customers and the people in the community, then the more some of these things will work themselves out.
Well, and I think there's an art of diplomacy that's not easy to achieve.
Especially when you've been jabbed in the back and jabbed in the back and jabbed in the back and jabbed some more.
As a new board member, you felt that pressure too.
Well, the punching bag.
And sometimes when faced with the facts, the response is, well, I just don't believe you. That's just not true.
There's nothing we can do about that.
And there's nothing we can do about that.
Right.
Welcome to America in 2019.
Exactly.
I think that also, I think it's also very fair to establish, I mean, it's like anything else in your life, boundaries, and that you have some goals, and we can work on that from the communication side, but I think with the website and your mission statement, you welcome community engagement when it's productive. I mean, Facebook even has requirements by which the engagement can happen. They will not allow posts, and other clients I have, if there is something vulgar, there is a certain level of expectation in terms of conduct. Mm-hmm. And if people cross that line, then it's not productive any longer.
Yeah, and I think the staff has been very good with that.
Right.
I mean, the board meetings have been very good with that. We've had a few challenges, but in general, there's a lot of respect here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teamwork, and most of the time it works.
And people can always run for office.
That's right.
People can always run for office. So it sounds like, in summary, we've had a good discussion. We've got some tweaks to the community engagement and communication plans, and I'll draft those changes for the next board meeting. Michelle's going to get us a bid on moving forward with the website in a different way, including a subscribe and unsubscribe and a matching update. And we've got, Anna's going to draft the overall policy for us based on our discussion here and her experience. We'll then look at that, add that to the strategic plan. And I think, is there anything
and
else that
Sean's going to
draft?
And there's
response.
I'll leave you with two other thoughts really quickly. I think on your communications plan, and maybe this will come with the communications policy, but I think making it very clear what your goals are, right? And that this is a kind of first quarter or 2019 or what is this a communications, maybe this is your ongoing communications plan, but I think making it very clear that this is kind of
this particular
plan is for
now in the first quarter, the new authority manager.
Okay.
So once it's speaking.
So I think making it on there. Okay. Because I think that in a
Through quarter one.
Okay, so I think as long as that's very clear and with the goals of the plan or purpose. The other thing I was going to say is I hope that you are considering a communications plan for the rollout of the new manager. And I don't know if the recruiting firm, the hiring firm, because are you guys working with a firm for recruitment?
Yeah, so what was your, I'm sorry.
A communications plan for rolling out the announcement of the new manager.
Yes.
A lot of recruitment firms will assist you with some of that, but I think considering this in part of this first quarter plan is really important, how and when you do that, and then kind of the onboarding process and how that's engaging the public as well.
I'll add that to this plan so that we can consider that.
Yeah.
That's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Any other questions? comments?
That was great. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Now, to me, this was like training.
It's very worthwhile discussion.
Yeah, it was good.
Workshops are necessary in areas where we don't have the expertise.
Yeah.
And where we want to go and try and do additional things. So.
If anybody wants to go to San Francisco in October, there's one-day crisis communications summit. I'll be going. I'll give you all the tools. I'll take all the tools.
There is a line item in the budget for board training, and if that's something that
CrisisCon.
CrisisCon.
Wow. But the thing is, it's moving so quickly. I mean, you know, and but I can send you some other links and stuff of just tools
and
tips. Things to read. Because there's a lot out there. I try to keep up on it. I'm pretty busy, but I try to once a week or so, like, kind of look at different sites to see, like, what's happening or follow different case studies on who did what. And
that is right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, it's 11:05, and I will adjourn this session.
All right.